We are doing groundbreaking work on chutzpah. Chutzpah is obviously something that's very shayach to the dar. Already we see at the end of Saita, Pnei hadar kipnei akelef. The face of the generation is a dog, and that means that if we use the koyach of the kalbin chatzufin, the chutzpahic dogs, right? The dogs who are barking at every place. What are you barking about? Barking and barking and barking. So the koyach of chutzpah can be used to benefit us or it can be used against us. The Gemara says in Beitza that there's no animal that has so much azus like a kelev, like a dog. And the truth is, we did want to say that dogs have a positive element. We brought Reb Sadek that says Eliyahu is gematria kelev. Eliyahu was the one who took a stance at every moment. We even suggested Kalev's name is from the Isis of kelev, but it's against the Mishnah, Rabosai. I pulled the wool all over your eyes. It says Heve az kinomer. It doesn't say you should be brazen like a dog. It says you should be oz like a leopard, like a nomer. And the question is asked, it's a Pashita question, if you have to be an oz, let's be like a dog. I mean, the Medrash says that it's the chatzuf shebe behemoth. It's the worst of the worst. We said the Gain says, kelev is gematria behema, because it's a behemoth's behema. And the answer is hagufa. That's exactly the point. The point is that a kelev doesn't have intelligent cheshbonos about his chutzpah. He's a loose cannon at every moment. He's totally out of control. The worst thing to be is somebody who just fires and fires and fires away without cheshbonos. A person can harness this koyach, but if he's like a kelev, nothing's going to be helping him. Chazal tell us, the Gain brings it in many places, that a kelev is a malik. Rashi already is meramis to it. Klal Yisrael are compared to a kid on the shoulders of their father who don't see their father. And the father says, hey, you don't see me? I'm putting you down. Boom! Gets bitten by a dog. Who is that dog? Chazal tell us it's a malik. A kelev is someone who has no tikkun. He's just barking and barking and barking. And I noticed something, a couple of things that are fascinating. We know that Chazal tell us that the dog gets schar, he gets the nevelis. Why? Lo yechretz kelev l'shayna. He didn't cause trouble when Klal Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim, right? Can I ask you a question? Who causes trouble when Klal Yisrael is leaving Mitzrayim, right? Cows were running away, goats were running away. We don't find that they got schar, right? There were lions there. I mean, with all the makas, I don't know, maybe the animals disappeared from the jungle, but you know, there were snakes. There were a lot of scary things. The answer is everyone ran away from Klal Yisrael. Anyone with the seichel of a behema understood, don't mess. It was very clear. There's only one Bri in the world who messes even when it doesn't make sense. The dog. He just starts barking for no reason. What are you doing? And he finally closed his mouth. Yeah, Klal Yisrael. He closed his mouth. That's something that's very impressive. You deserve Alpo. You deserve Purina, you know, dog food. We're going to feed you because of that. I don't know if those brands are still around. Those are from like 25 years ago. You'll tell me later. But the dog is never in control. And something shocking, actually. I can't be the first one that pointed this out. I'm sure if we do a computer search, we'll find that someone else said it much greater than the one over here. And that is, there's something difficult. The Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Nun Hei says that there's no more impoverished animal than a kelev, than a dog. Ein ani ki kalba. No one's as poor as him. It's hard for him to get food. No one likes him. And a pig gets fed. They fatten him up. He's an usher. There's no one wealthier than a pig. There's no one poorer than a dog. Right? Can I ask you a question? Chazal tell us in the Gemara, there's no one as oz, as brazen, as chutzpahic, as a dog. But there's a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says, Ashir Yana Ba'azus. Only wealthy people have chutzpah. Right? Poor people, Arash, they're so used to being the underdogs and so used to being needing other people that they're much more edel, much more understanding of their place. How could it be that the one who's famous for chutzpah is the poorest of animals? It's mamash against Chachma Shleimah HaMelech. It's against the pasuk. And the answer is no. And just look around. Look around who are the ones who bark. The dogs, they're the ones who are mecharish. You can have an opinion even though you know absolutely nothing. You can ruin a shir without preparing. Right? The Rebbe prepared the whole shir. You could just bark and bark and bark and bark. Rav Chaim Greinerman, Zatzal, was one of the Gedolei Hadar. He was at a Sheva Brachas, and he was darshaning. He quoted a Tosfos, and all of a sudden someone started arguing on him in that Tosfos. Rav Chaim Greinerman, you didn't mess with Rav Chaim Greinerman. He was extremely sharp, and he was so clever. And the guy wouldn't let up. And Rav Chaim Greinerman said, "Let me ask you, sir. Did you know this Tosfos 5 minutes ago before I quoted it?" "No." "And all of a sudden you became such a manda amar on this Tosfos that I can't continue?" You're an ani. What are you doing? Right? Your Rebbe prepared shir. Right? You're coming and barking. That's the kayach of this type of bria called the kelev. Ancheshbainas. And we have to study him. And everything has a time and place. Like kolzman ve'ez tachas hashmayim. Right? That also is from Shlomo Melech. Everything has a time and a place. And a mechutzav has to know when to be a mechutzav. And there's a beautiful story behind what I'm about to tell you. I'll tell you afterwards. But there's a gemara. This gemara is worth millions of dollars. It's free in Moed Katan and Daf Hei. It's worth millions of dollars. The gemara says the following thing. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol hasham or chaysav, zeiche v'roye b'yishuasei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whoever analyzes what he does, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Should I say this? Perhaps I should be quiet. Whoever does that will see a Yeshua from Hashem. Why? The pasuk says, Sam derech erenu b'yesh elokim. Don't read it, Sam derech erenu b'yesh elokim. Read it, Sham derech. Don't read it, place your way, Sam derech. But read it, Sham derech, right? A shin or a sin, depending on where the dot is. If the dot's on the left, it's Sam derech. Don't read it that way, put it on the right, Sham derech. Assess your way and you'll see Yeshua's Elohim. What is the case that the Gemara brings that's the man who assesses whether something is the right thing to do or not? Listen to this, it's incredible. There was a Talmud of Rabbi Yanai. Kol yoma habe makshile. In Shir, he was a terror. Shir is the place to get things down. Boom, boom, boom. He was the man. Rebbe was scared when he came in the room because he knew this Talmud would ask this. And if he asked this, what am I going to say? That was what he did. That was who he was. But b'Shabbos derigla, at the Shabbos derigla, when everybody came together to hear the shir of Rabbi Yanai, all the balabatim came. It was a big matzah for everyone to see Rabbi Yanai's stuff, right? That was the purpose of the Shabbos Rigla. They let all the balabatim, it's like, you know, kind of like the Yarchei Kalis, right? Let's see what Rabbi Yanai has over here. Lo havi makshile. This Talmud did not ask questions. Now, this would have been very exciting for the balabatim. I mean, balabatim love a good fight. Right, at all these agudah conventions, you know, if there's a fight, then people are happy. If not, you know, they just go home and they're not coming back again. So why didn't he ask questions? So what happened over here? Says Rashi, Rabbi Yanai's Talmud had a cheshbon. Mishum de'asu kuli alma lepirka. Everyone came to this year. B'makshi v'lo avi matzi lefruke havi michsif. Since everyone came to this year, if he would have asked a question to his Rebbe, he would have stumped him in public and embarrassed him. So what? Amitai shel Torah! Amitai shel Torah! No, he understood there's a time and place for everything. A person should be aggressive in Torah, but a person should understand what he's doing at that moment, where his Rebbe is, where he is. And the Or Sameach, this is a story for the books. Rav Chatzkel Abramsky loved to say over this story. He had a guest. The Or Sameach had a guest. And he went with him to shul. And the Or Sameach was learning in the front. And this fellow joined a blot shear in the back. And the Magid shear was giving the shear. And suddenly the guest, who knew his stuff, said, "You're misreading the Gemara." And the guy got flustered and didn't know what to do, and it was going back and forth. And the Or Sameach from the front goes, "Ah! Somebody who asks such a question in a shear doesn't know the difference between his lefts and his rights." And the Magid shear felt, vindicated, safe, and he went on with the shear, right? But this guest was boiling because he knew he was right. And here, the Or Sameach shut him down. Afterwards, he said to the Rebbe, Rav Meir Simcha, he says, "I know I was right. Why'd you shut me down?" He says, "You didn't understand what I said. I said, you don't know the difference between left and right. The Gemara says in Moed Katan that Sam Derech, you're Erenu Yesh Elokim, right? Don't read it Sam Derech, which means to place your way. Read it Sham Derech, which means to assess whether it's a good idea or bad. You didn't know that the dot on the shin should be on the other side. You didn't know the difference between your lefts and your rights." Now, if you imagine the gaonis of the Or Sameach, that he was able to do this, and it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Incredible. To do things at the right time and place. So many people don't know how to do this. So many people are just barking and barking and barking and barking. And I got tremendous nachas, I want you to know. And this is a surprise for whoever's listening, you'll see. I got an email last week. And what was the email? The email was from Yamki Berman and Naftali Weinberg. They learned together, and they listened to the Shmooze on the way to work. And they emailed me that that they were learning a Gemara in Moed Katan that was very appropriate for the Shmooze. And I had that on my sheet last week, the Gemara Moed Katan, and I forgot to say it. And that's real nachas. It's real nachas. So wherever you are, enjoy. I didn't return their email because I thought it would be cool that they're going to listen to it on the way to work. They probably think I'm mean, he doesn't respond to the emails, right? But the truth is, this is a certain type of art. I had somebody, I had a bacher in my house, and I was telling a story. This goes back years ago when I was in Kailal, and this bacher was very, very smart. And I was telling a story about a Gadol B'Yisrael. The details are not important for now. And it's about, he's a Kohen, and he ended up in a museum, and there was a mummy there, and he had to run out. Oh, Balagan. I'm telling the story, and I'm all excited about it. And he says, he's at my table, right, with my family and my wife, and he's like, "What? He doesn't know the halacha? That goyim are not metame ba'oel? This rav?" So I didn't know what to do, right? He's messing with me with oilos. I spent the whole of last year learning oilos. I could have put my dukes up. But back then I was in Nashim Nezikin, right? So I'm like, I'm sure he knew, right? He's like, he didn't know a pasuk, and he starts darshaning the pasuk, okay? Bekitzer, now that I'm older, this little squirt, he missed an open Ramah, okay? He missed an open Ramah, but I had nothing to do over there, okay? But what I wanted to tell this young man is, don't you realize that I'm giving a Dvar Torah in front of my wife and my children? Like, it's very nice that you have a problem over here. Don't you realize that you're speaking about an Adam Gadol? And I had a tab on this person. And when it came to Shiduchim, I tined that he wasn't well. And a Rav asked me, "How do you know?" And I knew from this mice. Someone who can't be aware of their reality is a very dangerous person. He's a walking time bomb. Rahman al-Islam. Rahman al-Islam. So how do we change our attitude? How do we become more mechabdim, as opposed to mechutzafim? How do we do this? Now I want to just change gears. We're going to try actively to work on the concept of kavod, mashi kibalnu me rabosenu, and I think there are going to be some surprises, and I think that if we work on this, we'll be surprised how quickly we can change from our attitude problem that we had when we were younger into real mechabdim, people who honor other people. The first thing is, why should I be machabed him? Right? My friend, I have a lot more great qualities than he does. I can list them for you. And you know what? He might even be right. So why would you tell me to be machabed him? In fact, it's a little extreme, because we find the Chazal ask us to do something outrageous, and there's even a din v'cheshbon about this. This is a medrash. It's hard to find this medrash, but it's quoted by Achronim. It's in Otzer Midrashim, Amud 93. The Reish Chachma brings it, the Balatanya brings it, the Gra brings it in Izigeres. The medrash says that Hashem's going to ask us a lot of questions, and we know from the Gemara that Hashem's going to ask questions, but add some. B'shash Adam nifter min ha'olam. Shoyaloi. They ask you, Klum asachta b'toyra gmilas chatzadim? Were you Isaac in Toyra? Were you Isaac in Chesed? Him lachta l'koncha chakras v'arves. Did you say Kriyashma in the morning and at night? Him lachta eschavercha benachas ruach. Did you make your friend a king? Benachas. You gave him the throne. Thrones? You're asking me, did I, my friend, kings, thrones, benachas, what are you talking about? This is something they're going to ask us when we get to Shemayim, which means it's from the most central parts of our lives, is did we make others into kings? How do you make somebody into a king? Especially because I have more reasons to have the throne than him, if I would compare. So let's understand what Chazal tell us about making someone above you in some way. Above you in some way. Says the Gemara in Psachim on Kuf Yud Gimel. Uminayin hayoideya b'chaveru shuhu gadol menu afilu b'davar echad. How do you know that if someone's only bigger than you in one single thing, shechayev linog boy kavod, that you have to give him kavod? Shenemer kol kabi diruach yisirebe. The Gemara brings from Daniel that they saw in him one attribute that made him above the rest, and Chazal learned from there, if one thing is greater by somebody else that you don't have, you have to give him kavod for that. Why? It's true I have a lot of things, but he's the king over there. There's something that he brings to the table, and it's an issue of focus. I could focus how much I have, or I could focus where the greatness is in every other Tzelem Elokim. Hashem didn't make a practical joke when he created our friends. He actually thought they contribute. So the idea is, I could always focus on where I contribute, or I could zone in. Where does that person contribute? And I could find that, and all of a sudden I'm very impressed. Right? He's always calm. These are not typical things. He's always calm. Even in a crisis, he's always calm. He's got a great sense of humor, and he knows how to diffuse situations. He's a masmid, right? When he's on the court playing, he's so good, but he doesn't make anything of himself. And when you find one of these things, he becomes a Rebbe. That person becomes a Rebbe. And it doesn't matter if he's older than you or he's younger than you. He's a Melech Mamish. A Melech Mamish. And in Divrei Torah also, we find David HaMelech in Vav Gimel, in Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav Gimel, Haloimid mechaveiro perik echad o halacha achas o posuk echad o dibur echad. One thing he taught you, afilu os achas, one letter, whatever that means. Tzarech linhog by kavod shechem matzino b'David Melch Yisrael. David was the king. Why does it mention he's Melch Yisrael over here? We don't know David's Melch Yisrael because David is on the throne. David's on the throne. The king doesn't need to show kavod to anybody. So we think, David Melech Yisrael, Shalom Lomar Me'achay Toifel El Shnei Dvarim Bilvad, and he called him Rabbi Alufi Miyudai. We see from here that the issue of being mechabed someone is to search for something about them that you don't have, that's special, that you can grow from, and to shtag from that. And Reb Tzadok says something shocking. Reb Tzadok HaKohen in Likutei Amarim Ois Yud Aleph. We all know that we were wearing crowns at Matan Torah, right? One for Nasa, one for Nishma. What are these crowns? What exactly were these crowns? Reb Tzadok says each person was looking at everybody else and he's seen crowns everywhere. Says Reb Tzadok, Veheim aksorin dematan Torah, kol echad hayloi keser, everyone got a crown, vihisnasus miyuchad al chaverav, and something special that put him above others. We always know the idea of a crown is something that ascends upwards. It's like above you. It's like something about you that's otherworldly. It seems like to ascend, kind of like antennas. Every yid had a keser, and we saw it. What was it? Kol echad menusa be'emes al zulaso. Every yid, be'emes, has something over his friends. There's something he's contributing. Mitzad kedushasoy ha'protes u'malasoy. From his special neshama's place, she'ein bishum adam kasher hu bishlei musa. That if he would really let it fully express itself, he would be somebody that in history, no, we would never find such a person like this. And says Reb Tzadok that at Har Sinai, we saw Milas Chavireinu. We didn't just wear crowns, but we saw how our friends have crowns. That's Reb Tzadok's uptight. It's not just that we were wearing crowns. We got, that's why Yankel's not a loser. I was stumped. He's a king. Wow, katonti. I'm a doormat compared to him in that area. A doormat. To see that and to focus on that is a different life, but you have to choose to do that. You have to choose to do that. And I found an amazing Maramakam, the Rebar Yakar. The Rebar Yakar is from the great Perushim on the Siddur. There's a bracha you say when you see 600,000 Yidden. Baruch Chacham Harazim, says the Rebar Yakar. What's this bracha about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makir Milas Kol Echad Ve'Echad. That when Hashem deals with all the masses, Hashem is Makir, recognizes the greatness of each individual. And you act like Hashem. When you see 600,000 people, you exclaim that there's a mystery to every single Yid. There's some Mila over here that I never saw and I never realized. And this is how, listen very well, because this is a very good tip. In Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, this is what we call real wisdom. Real wisdom. How do you give kavod to someone? You know how you give kavod and you know how you don't give kavod? Rav Huttner gives an amazing formula. Rav Huttner in Shavuos, Maimer Tes Zayin. He says the following thing. How does a person feel like he's getting honor when he doesn't feel like he's one of the crowd? He says, if someone feels like they're part of a group, then you didn't really make them exceptional, right? These words, unique, distinct, right? Distinguished. All the words of kavod is where I feel that I'm something special. I'm something unique. You know, imagine telling a guy that he gave a chabura that was just as good as everybody else's. Shkayach. If he just went to Brisk, and it's his first man there, and you tell him that his chabura was just as good as everyone else's, it's a compliment. Why? Because he feels like he's ready to grow his brisker payas. Because now he's in Brisk. All those other people in Mir and whatever, I'm in Brisk. So he feels like a yachid. But if you tell him that somewhere else, he feels just average. I remember that first chabura, I was in this all-star kailo, and I can't believe I'm telling you this now, I wasn't supposed to, but I remember I was in this kailo, they pay a lot of money. Whenever they pay a lot of money, you know the guys there are very, you know, that's how you get people. If there's money, there are ga'inim that come. And I had to give a chabura. And there was a guy who's already made a siyum on Shas Bi'iyun. You know, if I need to open up a yeshiva and I'm looking for a Rosh Yeshiva, I'll take him quickly. He's one of these guys. And I had to give a chabura, and he was going to be in my chabura. I was just getting there, and I was like, and it was on Klipe Orla. I picked the strangest topic, which is like peels of oranges that are from Orla trees. I mean, not exactly like. And I remember living in the Otzer of Chevron Gula. I was living there. And I was so scared. I think I just dreamt Klipe Orla, just peels everywhere, right? I can't believe I'm telling you this. And then we came to the Chabura, and I was drunk. I was partially drunk. I started giving my chabura, and all of a sudden, Mr. Shas says, that's not pashut. I said, why? Because of the Eliyahu Rabba? He goes, yes. He goes, boom, I'm going to explain to you why the Eliyahu Rabba doesn't make any sense to me. Whew! Stunned, fell, boom, I won! It was awesome, right? It was great, because you feel like a single person. You feel like you made a contribution over here. And my friend from high school, he's like, he's like, how'd you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. But that's the feeling of kavod. And whenever you can make someone feel like an individual, and you have to know how to do this, they feel like they're honored. Sometimes people don't want to feel like an individual. When they're nervous, they're crazy. Then they just want to feel like everybody else. Like people come into me, and they say to me, when I daven shachris, and I close my eyes in Shmona Esrei, I see Donald Duck every time. So they're very scared, and I tell them, don't worry, three people came this year with that. Then they're calm. By the way, maybe four came this year with that. If you count Mickey. If you count Mickey, it's four. Right? So what's pshat? Because there's a feeling that I might not be normal. When I'm not normal, you have to calm someone down by being part of the crowd. If someone's nervous about Shalom Bayis, you have to tell them that everybody has these problems, then they feel normal. But when you want to get to a higher thing, you have to feel unique. Unique and unique and unique. And the more unique you feel, the more you feel like a king, the more there's kavod. And that's how you give people honor, is by making them feel like someone special, someone unique. Let's get a little bit into marriage. Why not? We're all going to get married, Bezus Hashem, and I feel like we have to work on these things. Marriage is like this. Marriage, and I have to hear a lot about marriages, and I feel that as somebody who hears these things, it's good to know these things as a bachur, right? The Rambam says, in Perek Tesvav of Ishus, based on the Gemara, Chein sivu chachamim sheyia adam mechabed is ishto yeser migufo. You have to give your wife more kavod than you give yourself. Ohavo kagufo, you have to love her like yourself. And she, in turn, has to treat you like a sar, like a prince, and like a melech, like a king. What's this issue of honor? Why is honor so important in a marriage? Love, I hear. I mean, love is important. Why is honor so important? Honor is the fiber of a marriage. The entire fiber of a marriage. There was a Rav who was speaking at a seminary, and he asked me, I enjoy these questions, and I'm able, Masha Kibalti Mirabosai, to give answers. He said, what do I tell girls is the most important thing to look for in a husband? Now, I never worked in a seminary, and I've decided there's always could be an exception, but I don't like speaking to girls. Kimad, I never do. Except when my sister asks me sometimes, because she runs a seminary. But aside from that, I really don't. So I'm not really trained in this. But I told him something that I think is 100% true. It's when you're going out with a boy, see if you could respect him. Why? Because that's what a marriage is based on. A marriage is based on where two people focus on what makes this one a melech, a king, and what makes this one a malka, a queen. That's the fiber of marriage. Once people don't respect each other, they can love each other, it won't even help. Marriage is a feeling like I am the luckiest woman to have this husband, and he feels I am the luckiest to have this wife. And I'll tell you a sad story. I'll tell you a sad story. It's brought in Rav Diamant's Sefer on Marriage, my favorite Sefer on Marriage. Rav Diamant writes a story that happened to him. He had a woman that lost her husband, and she was grieving over her husband in a way that was out of whack. 17 years she refused to even hear a joke because she felt it offends her husband because he died and she shouldn't have any simcha. She died after 17 years, but she wouldn't even hear jokes. So Rav Diamant said, you'd probably think they had a glorious marriage. He goes, but let me tell you my role with this lady, how she knows me. I was her marriage counselor, and all she did was complain about her husband. That's all she did. She would call me, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that. Livid every week, not one positive thing. And he said, I know her husband. He had 400 milas, 400 things that were special about him, but he had about 17 problems. But she only focused on those things that bothered her. That's all she did. And once he died, and she didn't have those things just eating at her, she remembered 400 reasons why she shouldn't be able to have a reason to live a single day in this world without her husband. Because it's an issue of focus. Every person has to train himself. They could either bring 1,000 rayas why their friend's a loser, or bring 1 or 2 rayas why their friend is the king. And you can do this. You consciously decide to start seeing greatness in other people, and you change. And it's the same thing in Kibbutz Av, in respecting parents. You know, there are two types of relationships with parents that I don't think are the most optimal. We're going to get a little bit controversial here in the next couple minutes. I just want to, when it comes close to dinner, I have to tell you that, so you know it's worth it. But we are going to get a little bit controversial. One relationship with parents that I've seen is people who their parents can't win. Everything their parents do is terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. It's unfortunate. They just, everything is bad. Fine. Then there's another type of relationship. Another type of relationship where the people idolize their parents. Their parents, malachim, infallible. Infallible. I want to explain something here, and this is probably the most important nakuda here. We're going to touch something in the next few minutes that's very essential to really understanding how to respect people. That's a very dangerous thing to have. It's good when you're a kid to think mom and dad are, but you know what? You're going to start to get older and realize your parents are human. Your parents are human. And if they're human, they're going to have glaring problems with themselves. Glaring problems with themselves. And sometimes when people start realizing this, they start kicking and screaming, and they're making a terrible mistake. The reason we're mechabed our parents, says the Chayyadam, based on the Sefer Charedim. The Sefer Charedim says the following thing. Ish aviv v'imo itiro. This is Sefer Charedim mitzvah saseh pei aleph. Mipnei tzivui Hashem yidme osam be'enav kemelech umalka. You should view your parents like a king and a queen. V'yifchad v'yirat mod me'lavar al ritzono. Wow, a king and a queen. So if they're a king and a queen, so then they can't have flaws, right? And to make things worse, the Chayyadam. The Chayyadam says, Yidme be'enav shem gidoylim v'nechbadei aretz. You should view your parents like they're the greatest people in the world. Af shebe'eni shar b'nei adam einim chashuvim klal. Even if people don't recognize it, other people. V'zeh ikur kibud. The Chayyadam says, this is how you honor your parents. I want to explain how this works. It works the same way we were talking about before. A person has to find in his parents something that makes them stand out and is great. And they're allowed to have flaws. They're human beings. But when a person understands, finds a quality like that, they can make that parent a king. They can make that parent a queen. And I want you to know, it's the same thing with Rabbeim. I've gotten the following thing. People have said the following thing to me. Listen very, very well to this, because this could change our lives. People go to me, I can't respect this rabbi. I lost all my respect for him, right? They go around the lunchroom, lost all my respect for him, right? Went into the Rosh Yeshiva, right? He breathed the wrong way. All my respect, right? They throw around this word respect, 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 right? I lost all my respect, right? This rabbi did this to me. I lost all my respect. Can't respect him. Can't respect him. I can't respect him. So what's pshat? He did that thing, right? He did that thing, but lost all my respect. So I'm going to tell you a strange, troubling story that happened to me at the Kosel. I was walking, minding my own business at the Kosel, and all of a sudden I saw this Chabad Shliach, you know, with the tefillin, and somebody who got very angry because he saw the Chabad Shliach's religious, and he says to him, only the Orthodox could make King David into a hero. Whoa. I mean, like, you came to the Kosel, relax. That was interesting, like, only the Orthodox can make it. And then he starts quoting reasons why he doesn't like King David. I'm sorry for mentioning this. David Melech Yisrael. Right? And I was thinking about it. It was very disturbing to hear this. And then I realized, where did he learn the flaws of David HaMelech? He learned them from Tanakh and from Chazal. Like, why do we have such an interesting situation where we put into our Nevi'im, our Ksuvim, and into our Gemara's flaws? Of course, Chazal say, Kol HaOmer, David Chayta Eino Eletoa, but Natan HaNavi gave David HaMelech the shmuz of his life. And David Lefi Madrigasa did something very wrong. So what's pshat over here? The answer is that nothing about greatness has to do with being infallible. People make mistakes. And this is a terrible thing for people to expect that everyone idolizing people and not allowing them to make mistakes, you'll never respect anybody because we're all human beings. But there's so much to respect. There's so much to respect, and it's an issue of focus. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, it's brought in Torah's Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, says that every Rebbe has milas and chisronos. And he says there's certain strange people who only pick up the chisronos of the Rebbe. They're meshamish the chisronos, right? He says just pick up the milas of your Rebbe. But a person has to understand the greatness is David HaMelech's process. I'm going to tell you an incredible story that happened to me. I was involved in something very serious, very, very serious, that had to do with, Klal Yisrael had to do with segregating American children. My daughter was in a class, they wanted to segregate her, and it made history. This war in Israel made history, and Rav Aaron Leib Steinman ossered any type of segregation of kids in classes based on where they're from. It was a historical battle. I didn't learn a thing that winter's mom. Don't ask me about Yerideya, because Yerideya was this battle. I was fighting like 24/7. And I remember we were going home from Bnei Brak, me and a friend who were working on this, and we get a phone call. I was in my car, I'm driving, and it's from one of the Gedolim, a Gadol who not only is a Gadol, and I'm not gonna tell you who it is, I'm not gonna even give you hints, but it's the type of gadol that you could never imagine any type of pegiya in Bein Adam L'Chaveru could ever exist by him. Not even possible. Okay, I was sitting in the car, and this Adam gadol disagreed with what we were doing. But we were going from other gadolim. But this Adam gadol disagreed, and he called the phone of the person who was in my passenger seat, and he said, and he was a Talmud of his, he says, you call yourself a Talmud. I thought lightning was going to strike our car. I was pushed, scared to drive. I'm like, Mommy, get me out of here. I didn't know what to do. But I knew we were following Gedolim. And then all of a sudden, a person who's known for all of this greatness, and now what happened over here? And I was not ready to buckle, I was ready to be a Kelev over here. Because this was an issue of nefashis, and I felt we were 100% right. I was not willing to back down. And it really troubled me. And I want to tell you the postscript to the story. A few months later, I met this friend, and I said, whatever happened with you and your relationship with your Rebbe? And he said, you're not going to believe this. He says, on Erev Yom Kippur, I get a knock at my door, and it's this Adam Gadol, this Malach Hashem Svakas, and he's asking me for Mechila. And I want you to know, who do I respect more? Somebody who doesn't do something wrong, or somebody who does something that seems so l'shem shamayim and has the clarity to come to a Talmud and beg for forgiveness? That's real respect. And a lot of times we don't allow people to have a process. We don't allow people to have a story. We're judging all these tiny moments, and we don't realize that there's so much good to focus on. And we could focus on it in so many different ways and live a life that's cool ayayimer kavod. To really genuinely respect people who everyone's like, oh, stole my respect from. Calm down. Look at him. Do you see his wife? He treats his wife so beautifully. Yeah, he looked at you funny. You see how his kids think he's the king of the world? Look how wonderful. You missed all this? You idiot. What are you doing? Why are you writing this person off? Hashem didn't create this person as a practical joke. Hashem was megala something with him. And when someone decides to do this, they stop. They stop all the narishkeit, all the entitlements, and all the judging, and they live in a wonderful world of great people, and they start to love people much more. They start to care and honor people in a real, real way. We should all be zeicha to be mechabid kol echad ve'echad and see milas chavirim.